In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The gospel reading that we've just heard is one of the most fearful gospel readings that you find. Of course, the first part of it is very encouraging because it tells us that God notices the things that we do, and that when we do good things, even to the least of these, our brethren, that's a blessing to us, and God will reward us. But the fearful part of that is the second half of that gospel story. If you were at the services last night, you would have also, and even today, in the Beatitude verses and in the Kentuckian, you heard references to two other passages of Scripture that also talk about the judgment. One of these is Daniel chapter 7, and beginning with verse 9, it says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a river of fire issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." And then skipping down a few verses, it says, "I saw in the night visions and beheld one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there were given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." So the Ancient of Days was a vision that the prophet Daniel had. It does not mean that God the Father looks like an old man with white hair like wool, but this was an image that was given to him, much like when the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove. We don't believe that the Holy Spirit really is a dove, but that's the form that he was manifested. In this case, this is how God the Father appeared to the prophet Daniel. And then it talks about how the Son of Man came to him in the clouds. And this is a reference to the session of Christ to the right hand of God the Father that happened on the day of the Ascension. And what we are told by the prophet Daniel is that Son of Man sat at his right hand, and together they judged the nations. And so when Christ begins this parable by talking about the Son of Man coming in his glory, he's referring back to this prophecy. As a matter of fact, when Christ referred to himself, the most frequent way he referred to himself is the Son of Man, and that is it could be taken in a very simple way because all of us, at least all males, could be referred to as sons of men. But he wasn't just saying, "I'm a human being." He was saying, "I'm the Son of Man," that you read about in the prophet Daniel. And then in Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Now, one thing that's in common with both these passages and one phrase that you would have heard throughout the services and even today, as I mentioned, is this reference to the books being opened. He talks about, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the books in the plural form, and then it talks about one book, the book of life. But what are the books that are open, that are referred to here? Well, the fathers tell us that among these books, two of these books that are going to be opened are the Old and the New Testaments, which are the standards by which we're going to be judged. And we ought to think about that for a moment. And consider one thing, is if the Old and the New Testaments are the standards by which we will be judged, ought we not familiarize ourselves with them? As a matter of fact, even though it doesn't talk about the books being opened in the parable that we heard in the gospel reading, how were the people judged? They were judged according to how they treated one another. And when Christ summarized the law, he said it was summed up in two commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And in this parable, he focuses on that second commandment, and this was the standard by which these people were judged. But that book is there for us to study, for us to be guided by. Another book that is going to be opened according to the Father is the record of our deeds. Now, if we've repented of our sins, they will have been blotted out by God's grace. In the 50th Psalm, we talk about blot out my transgression. We're praying that God will blot out those things that we've done that are shameful, that are evil, and that they'll not be remembered on that day. Only those things which we've refused to repent of will remain. And hopefully also there will be a record of our good deeds, the things that we've done to help other people, the things that we've done to show our love for the Lord. And then one other book that will be opened according to the Fathers is the book of our consciences. That is the record that is a testimony to that record of our deeds. It's an independent witness. And it's a witness that we have within ourselves that tells us when we're doing wrong and when we're doing right. And the record of our deeds and the record of our conscience is going to be measured against what we find revealed in the Scriptures. And then it talks about one book being opened, and that's the Book of Life. In the service for the making of a catechumen, which if you were at vigil last night, we did right after the vigil for a new catechumen. But it says, "Enable him to walk in all thy commandments and to fulfill those things which are well-pleasing unto thee. For if a man do those things, he shall find life in them. Inscribe him in thy book of life and unite him to the flock of thine inheritance." Every one of you who've been baptized in the church had this prayer said over you. And when you are baptized, your name is written in the book of life. And the goal of the Christian life is to keep it there, to not have it scratched out by our rebellion against God. Christ talked about our names being written down in this book in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, where he's talking to the apostles after they came back when he sent them out, and they were talking about how even the demons obeyed them when they cast them out. And Christ said to them, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And then going back to Revelation chapter 20, where it talks about the final judgment, a few verses after the verses that I quoted, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." As we prepare for Lent, we need to examine the books in advance of the judgment. We need to be prepared. When you have a test in college, if you're smart, if you want to do well, you prepare yourself. You study the books that you've been given. Well, we have books that we can study. First of all, what's the record of our deeds? We will be judged according to our works. And a lot of times Protestants will say, no, we're not going to be judged according to our works. We're going to be saved by grace. Well, it's true we're going to be saved by grace if, in fact, we repented and we received God's grace. But we're told repeatedly in Scripture that we will be judged according to our works. And so that's a reality, whether you like it or not. That's biblical. And we're going to be judged by our works, both good and evil. However, as I said, only those evil deeds that we've not repented of will be taken into account. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we have a clean account with God at this point? Are our accounts up to date with Him? Have we asked for God's mercy and sought pardon both in our private prayers and the sacrament of confession, which Christ Himself established in the Gospels? Is the record of our conscience clean? When we prepare ourselves for confession, we should ask God to show us anything that we might have forgotten, any way that we've disobeyed Him. And if we do that, our conscience will remind us of those things. And we need to earnestly study the Scriptures, which reveal to us the standards by which we will be judged and also guide us on how to live in accordance with those standards and how to seek and find the grace and mercy of God and the power to be able to live that life. If we ask for God's mercy and we strive to live according to God's word, and do unto the least of our brothers and sisters as we would have them do unto us, we will have a good defense on the dread day of judgment, as we often talk about in our prayers, and we will find mercy. On that day, may we not hear the words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels," but rather, "Come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." It's the kingdom which is prepared for us. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not where God intends for us to go. It's the kingdom that God desires to give us. We only need to hear Him and obey. Amen.